Good afternoon. A warm welcome to all of our visitors on this Labor Day weekend. Pray that even though it's chilly out, not really chilly out, cooler out, that you can still enjoy yourself. The responsorial psalm for this weekend is a very beautifully powerful one. In every age, O Lord, you have been our refuge. In every age, O Lord, you have been our refuge. And if you were listening then to the psalms that followed, they speak of kind of the coming and going of all that is created. The grass grows, it sprouts, and then by the end of the day, it's withered and fade away. Have you ever seen on those like nature shows, those time-lapse kind of shots? It'll be a time-lapse that expands an entire year, and they condense it just to like 3 minutes. And what you see, there are always these beautiful takes. You see sunrises and sunsets. You see the changing of the seasons. Snow comes, it melts away, new vegetation grows and sprouts, then it withers and fades, and it all dies. Well, I remember watching that one time and thinking, this is God's perspective. We sit here, I'm watching the TV, and I watch a full year just go in front of me just within minutes. And from this perspective, I see all of these things happening day in and day out, the changing of seasons. And I kind of sit here steadfast, remaining unchanged. And I thought to myself, that's God. God is the one constant. In every age, O Lord, you have been our refuge. Think of the changing of empires, right? The Roman Empire comes, it takes over all of Western Empire, and then it slowly just dwindles and fades away. Christendom rises up, takes over all of Europe and Eastern Europe. It then expands itself and slowly fades away. But the one thing unchanged is God. He remains. Think with that in the background, Jesus gives us a very difficult teaching. And I love the scene in which it unfolds. This great crowd is following him. You can imagine Jesus as almost a superstar. All of these people interested in him, they've caught their attention, they want to see miracles. So they're all kind of flocking and following him. And you can imagine how easy it would be for Jesus to simply turn around and give some warm kind of teaching. You know, God loves you. You are an amazing, beloved son or daughter of God, right? But he turns around to this flock of people. We hear a crowd of people following him. And he says, if you want to truly follow me, if you really want to be my disciple, nothing can come before me. You must love me before anything else. And he sets a priority for all those. And he does it with a great hyperbole, right? You must hate father and mother, son and daughter. Nothing can become a separation between you and between me. Now that's something startling. You would never hear Confucius say, unless you love me, you cannot listen to my teachings. You will never hear the Buddha say, unless you love me more than your spouse, you cannot follow me. You would never hear Muhammad or any of the founders of any other religion say, unless you love me, unless you hate all other things that infringe upon your relationship with me, you cannot be my disciple. Why does Jesus make such a radical claim? Remember, Jesus is the only founder of any religion that asks this question. Who do people say that I am? That's interesting. Buddha never asked his followers, who do people say that I am? Muhammad never asked his followers, who do people say that I am? Confucius never asked his followers, who do people say that I am? It didn't matter who they were. But for Jesus, the crux, the real question, more important than his teachings, who am I? Who am I? Because who is he? The one constant. The one person that has been here long before you and I came into existence will be here long after we're 6 feet under the ground. The one remaining bedrock upon which all things depend. Now one begins to understand why he says what he says. If I am the reason, the cause of all things that are, then you must plug into me in order to have life. You can't plug into your spouse. You can't plug into your best friend. You can't plug into your hobbies. You can't plug into any other thing. If you do, you're going to destroy that thing and end up destroying yourself. I am the bedrock. I think a kind of a temptation for fallen humanity is to take faith, to take religion, and to place it as just another hobby, right? I am a bicyclist, I play golf, I play instruments, I play video games, and I do that thing on Sunday, I go to church. It's just one hobby amongst a bunch of other different hobbies. And then it becomes so privatized, right? Oh yeah, it's good for me, it doesn't need to be good for you. I just come in here and do this thing on Sunday. I like it. It's okay if you don't. I like cheese pizza. You like pepperoni. You know, it's just kind of this, like, a taste that I enjoy. It's my hobby. I think today Jesus kind of confronts that. Unless you hate, take these words to heart. Again, you're the crowd. I'm the crowd. Yeah, Jesus, I'll be your follower. Yeah, I'll even be one of your priests. Okay, Jagger. Unless you hate your father, your mother, your own siblings, you can't be my disciple. Jesus isn't simply about being nice. He's not simply about making us feel comfortable. He's about loving us. He's about loving us. And the radical truth that he gives to us today is this. Jagger, unless you plug into me, all of these other things which you enjoy will slowly fade away. Unless you plug into me, all of these things that you grasp onto and hold onto and try to find your joy and delight in, eventually they'll become tainted and sour. St. Irenaeus gave a beautiful truth, and I know I'm getting a little long here, but this is a wonderful truth. He said, the glory of God, what brings God glory, is humanity fully alive. Why is that such a powerful truth? Because oftentimes we think this, Lord, if I plug myself into you, you're going to rob me. Lord, if I say total yes to you, you're going to destroy me. You're going to take away my freedom. You're going to take away my joy. You're going to take away my personality. You're going to take away everything that I delight in. St. Irenaeus boldly and rightly said, no. What brings God glory is human beings fully alive. Your imagination, your passions, your intellect, everything you delight in, whatever is good and true and beautiful, he wants to see it put on full display. He wants you alive. And so it's by pressing in to the one who here and now is creating me that I become fully alive. Here's the last thing. As we come before the Blessed Sacrament, we aren't simply doing this. Sometimes I think we do this. Okay, I'm coming on Sunday, the first day of the week, because I'm making God number one in my life, right? God's number one, then my family, my spouse, then my family, then my occupation, then down goes the list. Kind of take that out of your mind. Because this is what happens with that. All right, God, I put my time in. I went to Mass on Sunday. I did my prayer at the beginning of the day, and now I'm going to move on to the rest of my life. Well, now I got track. Now I have my other friends. Now I have whatever other hobby there is. That's not enough. We don't come to the Eucharist to make Jesus one. We come to the Eucharist to become one with Jesus. See the difference? We don't come to the Eucharist to commune with Jesus, to make him number one. Yep, you're number one. Now you're done. Number two, number three. No. We come to the Eucharist to become one with Jesus, which means everything in my life finds its beauty, its goodness, its truth only in relationship with him. My spouse, my family, my friends, my finances, what I do on the weekend, what happens in the bedroom, everything. I don't come to the Eucharist to make Jesus one. I come to the Eucharist to become one with him. That's different. And I think that's what Jesus says. If you want to become my disciple, it means becoming one with me. Rooting everything in your life with me. As you come before the Blessed Eucharist, ask the Holy Spirit to reveal to you, what have you compartmentalized in yourself? What are those things that you have not allowed the Lord to touch? You have not allowed his precious blood to bleed into, and invite him in directly there.